Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degree-thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show, we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday at this time. Don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And, of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right. The Alan Nathan Show is entering its 27th year of national syndication, all thanks to you. Reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. Our topics du jour, as you may have heard, well, Trump's polling keeps rising as the Democrats continue sinking to the depths of most sewer systems where waste naturally accumulates, does it not? So why aren't they changing their conduct? Because their current trajectory seems to be nothing but southbound. Also, Democrats and their legacy media allies face mounting contempt for having inarguably concealed President Biden's dementia. And now they're also suspected of having done the same with his prostate cancer, given its advanced state. What's next? Also, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu publicly rebukes the leaders of Canada, France, and the UK for urging the Jewish state to cease the war against Hamas terrorists before they're fully destroyed, because after all, doing so would only guarantee their resurrection. Is he right? Is he onto something? Anyway, assisting in the opining and analyzing, we have old friend of the show, Tom Schatz, president of Citizens Against Government Waste. His editorials on fiscal policies have appeared in publications nationwide, including the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. Mr. Schatz has addressed these issues on plenty of occasions concerning government waste issues before both congressional committees and regulatory bodies. Tom, great to have you back. How are you today?
Doing great, Alan. Thanks.
I want to touch on with you a little bit of what we discussed yesterday before getting into so much that's before us, because these days you can put a blindfold on, throw a dart, and you're going to hit something newsworthy. That said, a story that's not being covered as much as it should is something that's still quite powerfully self-evident, and that is Trump's numbers are turning. I mean, we have Trafalgar and other pollsters putting him at 55 and 44 in the negative, while Ipsos and Reuters also show him with a sharp increase. And that it does appear that Trump's Middle East visit has paid off some dividends. Your take on this, sir?
Well, President Trump is trying to help everyone in America keep more of their money, improve their lives, have a good job, and move forward into the future. And I think it's a very positive message, and that's a big reason why he got elected. He said he was going to do certain things, and he has. Look, even when he says, oh, I'm going to, you know, have a 50% tariff on Europe, and Apple should make its stuff here, like he has done, it is a simply saying, make America the best place to invest, help the people, you know, kind of live whatever the new American dream is, and make sure that the United States remains the prime economy in the world. And that it helps our national security, it helps our future, and that's, I think, a big reason why people are looking around saying, you know what, this is pretty good. Better than what we had, that's for sure.
Joe Concha, a fairly well-known political commentator. You often see him on Fox News and other networks. He had a piece out recently in the Washington Examiner wherein he shows how Trump is on a roll while Democrats continue to descend into political oblivion. And he compares Trump's standing in the first term versus the second. He says, you know, the first term wasn't even within the first 100 days. You had Trump with the Washington Post at 36, Gallup at 38, Wall Street Journal and NBC News at 39, Fox News had him at 40. But then when you look at today, Insider Advantage and Trafalgar have him at 55, Rasmussen 49, Morning Consult, not a friendly Trump outfit at all, has him at 48, Harvard Harris has him at 47. He's mostly in the positives. Definitely in the positive with Insider Advantage and Trafalgar, two of the most accurate pollsters in the 2024 presidential election. Again, 55 approval and 44 disapproval. It does seem, though, yes, while Trump was quite successful in his Middle East visit, checking out with both Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates and, of course, Qatar, he brought home a lot of bacon, as it were, a lot of committed investments from these three countries. But at the same time, we got a lot of things going on here. I mean, grocery prices are going down. Gas prices are going down. Mortgage rates are going down. Inflation is going down. I mean, after a while, even with a biased legacy media, these results do bleed through. And I can't help but to feel that as long as legacy media continues to try to obscure these developments, developments that are the kind that people can feel because it hits them directly at home, well, then correspondingly, the worse becomes their standing in the view of all Americans. Or am I being too strident about this?
Oh, look, they are the legacy media is exactly where it was, which is pretty much irrelevant and wrong. And they try this. They keep trying. They're not going to change. It's like the left. They're not going to change. They think that what they're doing is the right way to approach it, even though they got shellacked, their ideas in particular, in the last election, and continue to do so. So, again, people see through all of this. They see the gas prices. They know what they're paying for eggs. You know, they want just things to be better. They're not focused on this inside Washington back and forth and discussions. And the reconciliation bill was passed in the House. That was a very big deal. They said it would get done before Memorial Day. So things that the president says he's going to do and doesn't. Look, he went up to Capitol Hill, which is a little unusual when legislation is involved, and he got enough votes, one vote, but it was enough to get this through. And now it's over in the Senate. So I think that's a very positive development. President Trump is President Trump. When he says he's going to, you know, increase to 50% on tariffs on Europe, doesn't mean he will. It means you guys better wake up and do the right thing and talk.
Yeah,
to
it looks as if he was able to reap the same benefits of sort of threatening the tariffs and putting them in motion for just a little bit, as would have been the case if he had gone full throttle. But because he didn't go full throttle, he got the best of both worlds. He pretty much was able to avoid much of the economic disruption that was associated with the maneuver, while at the same time bring about the results of what was intended all along through those maneuvers. I mean, we got the UK-US trade deal. China's now coming on board. Vietnam, of course, as well. Israel, I was even surprised to hear that they had an initiated tariffs against us. Well, we didn't against them, but they quickly came on board. And a whole host of other nations are, I mean, India, for God's sakes, looks as if they're about to cut a major deal with us. And, of course, these Middle Eastern nations have come on board with, you know, solid, no holds barred investments in our country. It does appear as if if Trump continues in this way, the polls will naturally follow suit, or am I being overly sanguine?
I'm going to add something else because it is Memorial Day weekend. I agree with you, but I'm going to add something else. And that's not only recruitment for the military, but reenlistment is at record levels. And that shows you how good people feel about this country. And that's kind of all you need to say, right? People want to go out and defend America, stand with America. That is all about what President Trump, all of this stuff about America is evil and horrible and terrible. There was a small group that always thought that, they always will, but things are changing.
Yeah, it's like their messaging is simply not resonating at all anymore, or at least to any degree that matters. Old friend of the show, and again, I think you and I have discussed this before, Julian Epstein, former chief counsel of the House Judiciary Committee, diehard Democrat, is trying to wake his brethren Democrats up to the fact that just going after Trump and not acknowledging where he has done well will not serve them. More on this upon a return. If you can, Tom, hang on the line. Going to be right back. Stick with us.
It's no secret that everyone wants to live a healthier life. But how many of us really do what it takes to make that happen? A new book lays out easy steps you can take to bring you closer to that goal. Dr. Brian Clement is the author of Quantum Human, an easy-to-read guide to wellness that provides a historic and scientifically validated roadmap on how to stop aging, prevent disease, and getting the most out of life.
Our many years of research have led us to realize how important it is to pay attention to our foods, our thoughts, and the activities we participate in. And more important is our relationships and sense of community.
Dr. Clement's message is one of empowerment. He says that each of us can harness energy and raise our biofrequency through conscious actions. And by doing so, we can heal ourselves and contribute to a more harmonious and connected world.
It's no mystery in Quantum Human we have explored the science of energy healing and the human potential and show how everyone can improve their lives and take their health back.
For more information, visit BrianClementPhD.com.
Funko's iconic pop collectibles, the vinyl figures with large signature heads inspired by pop culture characters and celebrities across film, TV, music, sports, and more, are a global sensation. Now, Funko's custom Pop Yourself line offers everyone a chance to create personalized pop replicas of themselves, friends, and loved ones. Skip the boring gifts this season and give dads and grads the gift of Pop Yourself, a personalized gift that's just as unique as they are. Graduation gowns and Father's Day accessories are just a few of the options to personalize your perfect pop. Jen Han, Funko's general manager of Pop Yourself.
Pop Yourself is more than a gift. It's a custom-made tribute. We're delighted to offer everyone the opportunity to create a personalized, thoughtful gift. So ditch the mug or gift card and give your dad or grad a fun, unforgettable keepsake.
Try Pop Yourself to commemorate special moments such as Father's Day, birthdays, baby reveals, or just about anything. To create your Pop Yourself, visit Funko.com.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us covering a number of issues today. We have assisting in the opining and analyzing over to the show, Tom Schatz, president of Citizens Against Government Waste. His editorials and fiscal policies have appeared in publications nationwide, again, including the New York Times and Wall Street Journal. Tom, appreciate you sticking around with us so much. Want to go ahead and dive right into this other issue here. Democrats are arguing that Republicans are baselessly claiming cover-up conspiracies regarding Biden's announced advanced prostate cancer. But this is even as some normally devoted Democrat operatives are acknowledging that cancer as something that most assuredly existed earlier in Biden's presidency, if not at the beginning. As a matter of fact, one of those guys is oncologist, bioethicist, and senior fellow at the left-wing Center for American Progress, known as Dr. Ezekiel Jonathan Emanuel. This guy was one of the framers of Obamacare. He is a rabid lefty. He's the brother of Rahm Emanuel, former advisor to Obama, and also former Chicago mayor. And Dr. Emanuel recently said this, quote, "Oh, yeah, he did not develop it in the last 100 to 200 days. He had it while he was president. He probably had it at the start of his presidency in 2021. I don't think there's any disagreement about that." Unquote. Now, this is when he says no disagreement about that, he means among his fellow practitioners. And he shared that sentiment with Joe Scarborough on MSNBC. It appears that Republican arguments of cover-up on this are just as valid as they were on Biden's cognitive decline. Would you not agree, Tom Schatz?
Well, he had not had a PSA test since 2014. So that kind of speaks for itself. And again, it's not definitive, but it certainly is something that is used most often to determine whether there should be further tests, biopsies, and other ways to determine whether someone has just, you know, a benign situation or a tumor. So it likely would have been found, or at least something would have been done. So it's unclear why that wasn't part of his routine, his routine reports and annual physicals. It just seems so weird. And yes, it leads to more suspicion about what kind of condition he was in at all during
the presidency. And yet the Democrats
physically, just one more quick thing, like the physician at the White House was like one of his best friends. So, hey, don't tell them what I really have.
We know he lied. You're talking about Dr. Kevin O'Connor,
yeah.
Who is also the same doctor who assured everybody in June of 2024 that there was no cognitive decline with Joe Biden. He just asserted that he's sharp as a tack. I mean, I saw the guy make those comments while he was walking along the street and was being interviewed by some television reporters. I mean, he made that clear. So it naturally follows, well, if he blatantly lied about that, we all know that was, in fact, a lie. That is not, there's no gray area there. Everybody now knows that Joe Biden had cognitive decline throughout his presidency and that his staff knowingly covered it up and that legacy media, also aware of it, knowingly obscured it. So it naturally follows that even though there is this sliver of plausible deniability regarding his health, everybody has every justification in the world to believe that they're lying because we have already caught them red-handed lying. I mean, just to be clear, my friend, legacy media outlets were just as complicit as Democrat leaders for concealing Biden's cerebral meltdown, his cognitive decline, call it what you want, his raging senility, whatever you want to however you want to refer to it. But legacy media outlets were just as complicit as Democrat leaders for concealing these realities. And their culpability never disappears, no matter how many times they claim that Trump's opposing policies somehow equal a greater threat. That's what they're doing. Anytime you ask them about Joe Biden, they want to point to Trump. Well, look at how dangerous he is. You know, as if somehow America's interests are the same as the ones pushed by the very Democrats voters rejected in 2024. I mean, the dodging from accountability by the left is gagging, is it not, my friend? Especially when they deride the GOP for committing the same dodging which they themselves embody. Or again, am I being too snarky?
Well, if they spend as much time trying to adopt or enact policies that help Americans as they are coming up with all of these excuses and ideas and claiming that everything that President Trump does is bad, like President Biden undid everything President Trump did that helped the economy and helped the American people. So they are just on the same playbook forever. And it's really exposing a lot of what they did wrong and the fact that they didn't do what they were supposed to do, which is objective reporting. You know, there were some people who said, we don't even have to be objective. I think it was somebody at the Washington Post. Like, why should we be objective? We have an agenda.
But well, then, really? then you're a pamphleteer, not a news outlet. But as I said, both the legacy media and the people surrounding Biden were guilty of this. Let's have a listen quickly to then White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. Clip 9, James, if you please.
Does the president have the stamina, physically and mentally, do you think, to continue on even after 2024?
Don, you're asking me this question. Oh, my gosh. He's the president of the United States. You know, I can't even keep up with it. We just got back from New Mexico. We just got back from California. That is not a question that we should be even asking.
Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? She must not be here.
No, I totally understand. I just explained. She was on top of mind.
The book is suggesting the president tells aides he's tired.
But that's in the excerpt, right?
Yeah, and that's why there have been so few public events before 10 a.m.
I mean, that's a ridiculous assumption to make.
President Biden is the oldest president in U.S. history. Why does White House staff treat him like a baby?
No one treats the president of the United States, the commander-in-chief, like a baby.
So there's this book that says...
That's ridiculous.
When staff
that's a ridiculous
back,
claim.
I mean, wow. It is just astonishing when you look at that with the 2020 vision that we all have when looking at the past, having become more and more aware of all things that are going on. I mean, even, you know, we were talking about Julian Epstein before, again, former chief counsel for the House Judiciary Committee, devoted Democrat. He just is very upset with his brethren, his brethren lefties. And he says to them, look, you're not failing because of the message. He says, no, it's not the message, and no, it's not the messenger. Voters don't like the product Democrats are selling. A bigger welfare state, cultural extremism, anti-merit identity politics, shamefully failing public schools, and maximal rejectionism of everything Trump. I mean, again, is this still otherwise devoted Democrat onto something, Tom? And will more of his party brethren listen to him and others like him as they sound the alarm? Tom Schatz. Tom, do we have you? All right, well, we're trying to get Tom. I want to point out that Epstein had stated a few things that went beyond those observations. He said, Democrats breathlessly predicted economic apocalypse resulting from tariffs, only to find an economy far more resilient than many experts predicted and clearly was able to withstand the temporary tariff stomach punch. Tom, I understand we have you back. Very quickly, do you see Democrats changing course?
No. They think they're on the right track and it's a train wreck, but they're going to keep going that way because that's all they know how to do it. So we'll see what happens, but I don't think they have a good future at this point.
Well, as long as they continue being this imbecilic, this inability to execute, this unable to execute any capacity for self-appraisal whatsoever, so the Republicans shall correspondingly benefit. I guess they should hope they keep going. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show.
May is Small Business Month, and TikTok is supporting entrepreneurs at a time when they need it most with their nationwide program, Small Biz Fest. TikTok is giving away $1 million in ad credits and one-on-one support to local businesses to help them reach new audiences and increase sales. Esme Lean, TikTok's head of small and medium business.
TikTok has become the go-to platform for business owners looking to grow their audiences and to be discovered by new customers across the nation. At TikTok, we're focused on supporting our thriving community of 7.5 million businesses. And this May, we celebrate Small Biz Fest as the next step in our year-long commitment to support and supercharge entrepreneurs.
TikTok is also launching free educational resources to help businesses launch, market, and grow on the platform. To learn more about the ad credit giveaway and how to kickstart your journey on TikTok, visit TikTokSmallBizFest.com.
Circle K Fuel Day is back. Just in time for Memorial Day weekend, customers can save up to 40 cents on each gallon of fuel at the pump from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. local time on Thursday, May 22nd. The discount is applied directly at the pump, so customers can enjoy their savings seamlessly. Your purchase will also have an added benefit. To honor our veterans ahead of Memorial Day, 10% of profits will be donated to the Children of Fallen Patriots Foundation, helping military children who have lost a parent in the line of duty. As people hit the road over the long weekend, customers can stretch their dollars and help give back to veterans with Circle K Fuel Day. With 5,800 Circle K locations across the U.S. participating in the Fuel Day, mark your calendar to get your discount while supplies last. To find the closest local Circle K store offering this deal, visit CircleK.com/fuel-day.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis. For those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach, absolutely delighted you could be with us. And as per the norm, boy, do we have a lot into which we're getting. We are expecting around the corner former Congresswoman Mayra Flores, a Republican out of Texas. She served the good folks out of the 34th District. She was also a member of the Committee on Homeland Security and the Committee on Agriculture. It looks like she'll be running against Representative Cuellar, a Democrat out of Texas, in the midterms. And she just might pull it off because Democrats are not comporting themselves very convincingly as it relates to immigration, big time. And, of course, we understand just down the pike, There's been a development. Apparently, we're learning from just the news that Judge blocks Trump from revoking Harvard's international student privileges. Kind of odd when you look at this. I mean, this is something that really does seem to belong to the executive. But here's the story. A federal judge on Friday blocked the Trump administration from revoking Harvard's ability to admit international students. And additionally, Trump now has to deal with that, even though it's a separated power. They go on to write, Obama-appointed U.S. District Judge Allison Burroughs issued the stay. This was also reported by Reuters. The move follows the school suing after the Department of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, on Thursday revoked its student and exchange visitor program certificate. Noem took that action amid a standoff with the school over its handling of anti-Semitism on campus. With the stroke of a pen, the government has sought to erase a quarter of Harvard's student body, international students who contribute significantly to the university and its mission, Harvard asserted. This administration is holding Harvard accountable for fostering violence, anti-Semitism, and coordinating with the Chinese Communist Party on its campus, Secretary Noem said. It is a privilege, not a right, for universities to enroll foreign students and benefit from their higher tuition payments to help pad their multi-billion dollar endowments. Well, truer words, right? But the thing is, as I said, it is something that is genuinely under the purview of the president. I mean, just look at Title VIII. Title VIII already gives any president with all the powers needed to secure the border, place restrictions on illegal immigrants already here, as well as restrictions on immigrants in general. I mean, he can do that. Not if you're naturalized citizens or anything, but if you have permanent residency, guess what? You're still under his purview. If you later turn out to be a terrorist, hypothetically, just putting that out, and guess what? He can get rid of you. And it's all part of Title VIII. Because whenever the president finds that the entry of any aliens would be detrimental to the interest of America, he can, by proclamation, suspend the entry of all aliens or impose on the entry of aliens any restrictions he thinks is appropriate. That's part of the law. I'll read you the entire passage here because I was just summarizing it. Title 8, Chapter 12, Subchapter 2, Part 2, Section 1182. Here's the excerpt. Whenever the president finds that the entry of any aliens or of any class of aliens into the United States would be detrimental to the interests of the United States, he may, by proclamation, and for such period as he shall deem necessary, suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants, or impose on the entry of aliens any restrictions he may deem to be appropriate. End of excerpt. And guess what? Those restrictions include not letting you in, as well as deporting you if you happen to have come in and misbehaved after the fact. Now, let's hope that the executive is not forced to use its constitutionally provided prerogative to check the judiciary, either in part or in whole. All right? Or in mass, I should say. But whether it's the aggregate judiciary or any component of it, there exists for the president a constitutionally provided prerogative to check the judiciary for any finally rendered rogue ruling that would attempt to usurp the executive's separated power. You see, it is the constitutionally designed inability of the judiciary to enforce its own rulings that permits this kind of a check, that permits this check by the executive to preempt any tyrannical ruling from any court of the judiciary. Now, he's not a king, okay? Yeah, not a king. He doesn't get to have final say. The countercheck remedy on the president would be House impeachment followed by a Senate expulsion trial. That's even if they think it's necessary. But let's suppose they do. House impeaches him, sends it over to the Senate, because it's really like a political indictment. They forward it to the Senate for that expulsion trial. But if the Senate fails to reach the required two-thirds vote majority to stop the president, guess what? He will have then constitutionally won that separation of powers debate, and his actions are going to stand. And they'll stand as lawfully realized. This has got to be better understood. But, of course, I've been talking about this ad nauseum. Let me shift gears a little bit here because, as we also talked about, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu publicly has rebuked the leaders of Canada, France, and the UK for urging the Jewish state to cease the war against Hamas terrorists before they're fully destroyed. And he doesn't want to do that because doing so would, of course, only guarantee Hamas's resurrection. Is he right? And, of course, this conversation was further triggered by what happened recently at the Capitol Jewish Museum. It also further exposed the Democrats' cluelessness on this issue, because when first asked by a television crew, Minnesota Representative Democrat Ilhan Omar refused to condemn the monstrous D.C. killings of Israeli embassy employees Yaron Leshinsky and Sarah Milgram of Israel and Missouri, respectively. And only after some advisor likely counseled her on how to not look like any more of a pariah than she already does, she finally said this on X, quote, "I am appalled by the deadly shooting at the Capitol Jewish Museum last night, holding the victims, their families, and loved ones in my thoughts and prayers. Violence should have no place in our country." But that's not what she said when she was first pressed. She could have easily responded right then and there. There was plenty of time. Plenty of time. So I think measuring the length of this woman's sincerity really requires nothing short of a micrometer. Can't we agree on that? And you got to wonder, do squad members like Omar and Jasmine Crockett and Ayanna Pressley and Rashida Tlaib and AOC perhaps help explain why Democrats have poll stats sitting in the mid-20s? And it's all coming from the left. And I say this as somebody who's a social liberal, not to be confused with a progressive. I can out liberal the best of them, okay? These people from my old party, they have nothing to do with the Democrats that some of us still think exist, but I think more and more of us are learning has disappeared a long time ago. For instance, Elias Rodriguez, the killer of these two people, was once with the Anti-Semitic Party for Socialism and Liberation. That's what they are. It's an anti-Semitic group, and it's the Party for Socialism and Liberation. Socialism and liberation. It's a bit like saying you're for Nazis and racial equality. I'm sorry. The former is no less mutually exclusive than the latter. Anyway, despite the group having posted anti-Israeli dogma just hours before Rodriguez slaughtered Yaron Leshinsky and Sarah Milgram, they now insist that they had nothing to do with the bloodshed. They never bothered condemning the killing. However, they did say that they don't support it. Jew. Wow, how magnanimous of you. How altruistic. So they're trying to distance themselves from the killings. We'll let others decide how directly culpable they actually might be. But the whole argument surrounding the Middle East has just been so muddied with polluted sophistry. It really has. I mean, without a doubt. You keep hearing, like, this nutcase screamed as he was getting arrested, Rodriguez screaming, "Free Palestine, free Palestine, free Palestine." What they're not telling you is when they say free Palestine, it means destroy Israel. They don't want just a little piece of land for themselves. I mean, during the Clinton administration, they were given 90% of what they wanted and 50% of Jerusalem, and they still walked away from it. No. For them, a Palestinian state is contingent upon Israel's annihilation, which guarantees that goal's unattainability. It's the fix is in. Because then they use that manufactured status quo as a camouflage justification to keep killing Jews, their only real goal. That's what their chant of "from the river to the sea" is all about. If you look at what's between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea, it's virtually all of Israel. You can't make a deal contingent upon a demand that you ensure can never be realized. Stick with us.
A new national survey reveals a surprising gap between what Americans believe about dental care and what they actually do. Many say they want to keep their natural teeth for life, but their habits often don't match that goal. Dr. Stephen Katz, president of the American Association of Endodontists, explains.
Most adults say they care about keeping their natural teeth, and nearly 9 in 10 believe flossing is important. But almost 60% don't floss daily, and more than 2 in 5 wait to see a dentist until they're already in pain. These delays can lead to serious dental problems.
Tooth pain doesn't have to mean tooth loss. When problems do arise, there's hope and help from a dental specialist known as an endodontist to help save your natural teeth.
That's correct. Endodontists are specialists in saving natural teeth through root canal therapy. With the right care, even a tooth that hurts or is infected can frequently be saved. But the key is acting early. Don't wait for pain.
Learn more at findmyendodontist.com. A new AARP fraud report highlights the need for better cybersecurity habits. Kathy Stokes is the director of fraud prevention programs with AARP's Fraud Watch Network.
Fraud is becoming increasingly sophisticated, yet many Americans may still be unaware of habits that can decrease their risk. Now, millions of adults have downloaded unverified apps, or they've taken social media quizzes from questionable sources, and millions have yet to enable multi-factor authentication, which is an easy step that offers additional protection for online accounts.
The good news is that protecting yourself doesn't require a tech background.
Simple steps like updating your passwords, using a VPN on public Wi-Fi, and turning on security features can help keep your information safe.
For more on how to protect yourself from the latest scams, visit aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork. That's aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork.
May is Stroke Awareness Month and a chance to remind people that fast action can save lives. Neurologist Dr. Kendrick Johnson with more.
When it comes to stroke, every second counts. That's why we encourage people to remember the signs using the FAST acronym: face drooping, arm weakness, speech difficulty, and time to call 911. The good news is that stroke management has come a long way. In addition to medication, procedures like mechanical thrombectomy can remove clots from the brain and may improve recovery if done quickly.
For more, visit penumbrainc.com/stroke.
The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. At Children International, we know that the journey to end poverty for good begins first with a child. It starts with their first checkup, lesson, opportunity, job. That journey takes commitment from people like you and me to end poverty for good. Learn more at children.org.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's HELPPVA.org.
We'll be right back.
We know that the opinion polls always understate his popularity, but the polls are nevertheless turning, and even CNN is forced to acknowledge that unhappy news. Unhappy for them.
I think it's time for a bit of a reality check, right? We were going to late April. Donald Trump's approval rating, his net approval seemed to be falling. He seemed to be adios, amigos. People were writing his political obituary. He is rising from the dead. Look at this. Hello, Trump's net approval rating among voters. This is the Reuters Ipsos polling. Look at this. In late April, he was 8 points underwater. But look at where he was in the most recent poll among voters. He's up 7 points.
It's not just the Ipsos poll, as CNN noted in that segment. His approval rating is up across numerous polls, and you can kind of see why with the Middle East trip and some of these trade deals that are being struck.
He just is this ball of energy, and he doesn't stop. He's just getting one thing done after the other after what seems like 4 years under Biden of just like nothing getting done. So just the contrast in there.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate, once again. This is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. You were listening to Sky News coverage of Trump's change of fortunes. More specifically, Sky News Australia's the Rita Panihi show with Rita Panihi. And she's talking about how the polls always understate Trump's popularity, and introduces a clip from CNN's Harry Enten to further illustrate that. And, of course, Harry Enten himself, he's not at all shy with his enthusiastic disclosure of these revelations. I'm surprised he's still working at CNN. He's just happy to show how the numbers are running so contrary to the news coverage. He even cites a Reuters Ipsos poll to that effect. And then commenting at the end, of course, is Kosha Gada, Sky News contributor. This, of course, is alongside Insider Advantage and Trafalgar polls showing that Trump's got a 55-44 approval rating, 55 giving him thumbs up, 44 thumbs down. But on balance, in the aggregate, we do see a general trend in the positive direction for Trump shortly after his very successful Middle East tour with Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and United Arab Emirates, bringing home billions and billions of dollars of investment. And it looks as also as if his tariff strategy has been paying off, much to the chagrin of everybody who's always been against tariffs. Trump just showed that, look, I'm not trying to say I agree with their existence. I'm saying I like using them as a point of strategic leveraging to correct an otherwise unacceptable, pernicious series of acts continuously promoted against the United States. He doesn't believe it's fair that if we're all going to be embracing free trade, that we can do so unevenly. Free trade requires both sides of a given agreement to be comporting themselves in that fashion. You can't have free trade while one side is given the green light to continuously not practice free trade via elevated tariffs. Trump made a rather cogent argument in that regard, and it seems to now be paying dividends. We've cut a deal with the UK. We're cutting one with India. Others are lining up outside our door. Additional nations that were subjecting us to unfair tariffs have come around. Anyway, without further ado, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing, old friend of the show, none other than, this is a guy we just don't seem to have on often enough. John Zemirak, senior editor at The Stream. He was press secretary for Louisiana Governor Mike Foster, as well as having been a reporter and editor at Success Magazine, as well as Investors Business Daily. By the way, he's the author of 14 books, including the highly praised work entitled No Second Amendment, No First. John, great to have you back. And boy, it seems that despite legacy media's best efforts, Trump is still going up in the polls. Your take on it, sir?
Well, yeah, because he's pursuing common sense policies that speak to our national self-interest and to us as a national community, a national family, as opposed to the Democrats who are running a campaign to liquidate the country, to dissolve its borders, to dispossess its majority, to discriminate against ordinary people who haven't done anything wrong, but because they're part of a historic group like white males. Suddenly, they're not protected by the Civil Rights Act. And many of the Republicans, the Republican establishment, was pursuing a globalist policy of intervening all over the world and trying to help the wealthiest profit some of them by investing in armaments companies. Trump is the same kind of moderate. He's basically where Bill Clinton was in 1992. But both parties went way to the left of that, and it wasn't popular because it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work at all. And people can see the difference between, look, you might be able to fool them when it comes to esoteric policy wars, wherein the subject matter doesn't necessarily hit everybody at home right away. But when it comes to issues like inflation, mortgage rates, grocery prices, things of that nature, if successful things are happening, people feel that. And if they hear a party contending the direct antithesis, they know that they're being lied to. Now, it does seem as if Trump has some other headwinds before him, even though he has some good news. For instance, recently the Supreme Court let Trump strip legal protections from about 350,000 Venezuelans. You know, they let him, if you will, revoke Biden's executive orders on this issue, which I found I found it strange that this should be an issue, because no president's executive orders are bound in subordination to his predecessor's executive orders. So I found it to be an odd thing to ever develop. But what I'm saying is, even though Trump got that success from the Supreme Court, just now another federal judge blocked Trump from revoking Harvard's ability to admit international students, when in fact Title VIII provides Trump that very prerogative. What say you on this?
Trump is going to have to defy the courts. He's going to have to defy the federal courts, and at some point he'll probably have to defy the Supreme Court. The Democrats, who control much of the judiciary, have activist judges who are willing to violate the Constitution, violate the separation of powers, treat themselves like each of them has a veto power over every decision of the executive branch. It is flagrantly unconstitutional, and the people don't support it. If Trump defies the courts, the people will support him, and we will break the back of judicial supremacy.
I agree with you. He just has to give the predicate for it in advance, and he has to do so over a little bit of period of time. But I agree with you, because as a matter of constitutional law, the judiciary is not allowed to enforce any of its rulings, and therein lies the president's prerogative to not carry out those rulings. That's the strategy against a rogue court. Every president has the unassailable, albeit sometimes perilous, constitutional option to use the functionality and mechanics of his branch's separated powers to leverage his check against what he believes to be an unconstitutional encroachment upon those powers by any component of the judiciary. And he can do this even as the dispute makes its way through the appellate process. This is especially relevant to time-sensitive issues, when, let's say, even an eventually favorable decision for the president would be moot because of a lower court's flawed ruling having caused irrevocable damage. John Zemirik, always a pleasure.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.